You know, the scriptures are kind of interesting. The last little bit, last week and this week, we went into the Gospel of John, and they are the I am statements. I explained last week the I am statements. They come directly out of the Old Testament. As you know the story of Moses and the burning bush. The burning bush is being burned but not being consumed. And Moses goes over to see this thing that's happening, and he gets over there, and he's all of a sudden then hears the voice from the burning bush, and it says, take off your sandals because you're standing on holy ground. And in the midst of the conversation where God is telling Moses what he wants him to do, Moses says, but who should I say your name is? And God says to him, my name is I am. Well, the statements that we have in the Gospel of John, which will not end today probably, but will continue to go, are the I am statements. Last week was, I am the good shepherd. This week it's, I am the true vine. You know, it's really interesting to me when I hear that. You know, because I am the good shepherd. I mean, you think about it. That means that we're sheep. You know? And it means, granted, he says, I'll lead you into green pastures. But, at best, what's a sheep going to get? I mean, he's not going to get anything more than a stable. You know? I mean, it's not like, at least, couldn't he say, I'm going to lead you into a five-star stable? You know, or something like that. You know, I am the true vine. But what does it tell us real clearly today? He's the true vine, but if we're branches, if we don't produce fruit, then we get basically cut off. And if we do produce fruit, well, then we get cut because we get pruned. You know, I sometimes think I wish God worked a little differently, you know? I wish that we had, I am the true genie. I'm the true genie. I'll give you whatever you want. I'm the good lottery ticket, where you got it. Because I think sometimes that's the way we hope God really is. But that's not what God is. You know? It tells us real clearly in the gospel today that he is the true vine, and his father is the vine dresser, the vine grower. And that we are branches. That we're branches, and that if we don't produce fruit, well, then we're going to get cut off. And if we do produce fruit, then he'll prune us so we can produce more food. That we can do nothing on our own. Nothing on our own without being tied into him. You know, it's interesting because really the scripture is talking about abiding. Use the words abiding used over and over again. And yet I wonder how many of us really understand what the word abide means. I wonder if many of us actualize that word abide in our own lives. Abide isn't just I abided by the laws, It's not that. The word abide here is a word means that you stay, you reside. That you continue without fading or diminishing. You continue within God. To continue within God. A lot of us, if you were raised like I was in a Presbyterian household, it was, well, that's my job. I gotta abide. I gotta abide in God. And what does that mean? Sometimes, I used to think when I was younger, abiding in God was making sure I read my scriptures every day. I made sure that I prayed every day. Made sure that I, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know about you. That would seem like an incredible amount of responsibility. It was almost overwhelming for me at times. I'm not saying it wasn't all good. But it was very difficult. Because there was things that happened in my life. There was mistakes I made in my life. There were times when I'd go out there and I'd be like, well, I really love God, but I really want to do this. There's even times like that for me today. I really love God. I mean, I love him. I love him, but, I want what I want when I want it. Why can't you be, the true genie. Why can't you be, you know, the good lottery ticket? You know, I mean, why does it have to be this way? And yet that's the way it is. Because that's the way we're created. To be in Him and Him in us. To abide. To continue in relationship even when we mess up, to know that we come home. You see, it's a lot more dependent upon God. He's the one that really takes all the responsibility than it is on us. You know, we might be the result. Producing fruit is a result, but we can't have that result unless the cause, which is God, is involved in this whole thing. So it's really coming into that place where we abide with Him, we reside with Him, we continue with Him, we stay with Him. Staying in God. Abide. You know, I started to think about that. And I was thinking about my growing up. I do that a lot more lately than I've ever done in the last couple of decades. I'll never forget when I was growing up in the 50s, dinner time was always where you came together. You might not eat breakfast together, you definitely didn't eat lunch together, but dinner time, you know, you had a family dinner. And on Sunday, you better eat together. Everybody. There was really no excuses back in the day when I was being raised. You couldn't say, well, I want to go to somebody else's house. No, it had to be something. You had to have dinner together. And it was always, you know, set in the dining room, you know, and you didn't do it. And, you know, as we went along, we'd always do that. My mother would take great pains and my father would be involved and my brother and I had to do things. And then all of a sudden, you know, lo and behold, what happened? There was an invention that took place. It was called not the TV, but the TV table. You remember the TV tables? I mean, I don't even really have them anymore except in maybe someplace. But the TV table, it folded down. It could stay in a closet or it could stay right out. They had the little, you know, kind of holders for them that you could met your TV tables up. And everybody had their own TV table. I mean, you know, it was nice. I'll never forget, you know, when all of a sudden that was entered into our house. I mean, we all, you know, wanted to, you know, watch TV. I mean, I was raised on TV. But the TV table changed everything. You know? Mom didn't ever buy into the Swanson TV dinners, but she did buy in to the TV table. But she went reluctantly. I remember sitting in front of watching I Love Lucy. And my mother said something to my father, and she said, I mean, and which was typical in my household, yeah, okay, no problem. Yeah, go. That's great. That's wonderful. We went on eating. A little bit later, she started to do the thing that she said. My father, what are you doing? And she said, well, I told you I was going to do this. And you said, yeah, sure, go ahead. She goes, I never said that. My mother looked at him and said, I think you were more interested in Lucy than you were in me. You know, sometimes you can think you're abiding, but you don't abide. We were supposed to be together. It was a family dinner. It was being together. It was the whole nine yards. But to tell you the truth, none of us were really present with each other. We were all watching I Love Lucy. I mean, how many times do you come to church and you come into church and you say, I came to church and, oh, God, I'm with you, God, you know, and I'll go get my communion. But really, you're physically here, but not anything else here. How many times do you talk to somebody and not give them full attention? I'll tell you what the result of that is it makes a result where you don't produce fruit of relationship. What happens is you produce fruit of fear. Because bit by bit, what did I miss? Where was I? You know, how many things did I do? Did I get everything done? You know, is it all going to come together? What did I miss? I don't want to miss something. You know, in 1 John, we're told that perfect love casts out all fear. You know, for years I tried to make it so that I would love God so much that I would get rid of all fears that I had, all worries. Nah, I still got some love, but, you know, fears and worries. I don't know about you, but I do. And then all of a sudden I started to realize that the perfect love that casts out all fear is not me loving God, it's God loving me. If he's the vine and I'm the branches, then it's got to come from that direction. And it was simply me finally coming to the place where I said to myself, I got to realize that God loves me so much that I can't really even understand it. How many of you know that? How many of you know that down to the point where you say, everything I did in my life really doesn't have any matter in relationship to God. It really only has matter in relationship to myself. How many of you still keep looking at all the stuff you did wrong, even yesterday, and you plan it through your head over and over and over again? In fact, you might be doing that right now instead of listening to the meager words I'm throwing at you. I mean, how many of you ever really get to the place where you say, I don't understand it, but I'm going to try and acknowledge that he really does love me that much. And then abide, stay, continue, reside in it. And it sounds like work, and it is work. But it's work of opening yourself more than work in doing something. And when you finally get to the place where you say, I'm going to work on the things to open myself, you'll do all the things that you're supposed to do. And you'll do them in a different way, in a more perfect way than ever before, because then you aren't busy trying to protect yourself. I mean, how many of you here, if somebody says just a little something, it sounds like they're trying to say, well, did you make that mistake? Immediately jump into, I didn't do it. You know, somebody else might have done it. I didn't ever see that happen. I mean, we spend so much time trying to protect ourselves. To be honest with you, we miss God. We spend so much energy in trying to look into ourselves and figure out how we can redo what we've done in the past instead of just saying it happened. Let's move on. We spend so much sort of conscious contact where we simply are trying to change something that can't be changed. And it really doesn't matter a lot of the times. Sometimes the things that are said to us weren't even directed at us. It was simply a conversation. And yet, by God, it sort of made me feel like I'm insecure. It made me feel like, you know, I didn't do it right. It made me feel not good. I didn't like that. You know, when you're in perfect love, the good's always there. I mean, it's just always there. And when you're in perfect love, somebody doesn't agree with you or doesn't think the highest caliber of you, it's maybe not your issue. It's maybe their issue. When you're in perfect love, all of a sudden you feel so free, it's incredible. A freedom that you have no idea where it even came from, but you sure do like what it feels like. You see, perfect love casts all fear, but it's perfect love of you realizing that God perfectly loves you. Perfectly. It doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. Because God knows you're not going to be. But it's where you finally open yourselves up. You know, I remember soon after we had the TV tables, we tried to revert and go back to where we had, you know, meals every night together. Didn't work. I'll be upfront with you. It didn't work. But my mother finally made up the decision that we could still do it on Sundays. And then one other night during the week. And that actually lasted all the way through probably my middle school or junior high, and where I was back in those days, time. And she finally ended up, you know, saying, okay, well, I'll let this go. But there was something that sort of reconnected us here, because it was where all of a sudden we sat down and talked about the things that were going on. I remember my dad saying sometimes on those Sunday dinners, my dad used to make me go campaign for Goldwater in 64. Okay, so let's just say he had his opinions, okay? My brother marched on Washington when Martin Luther King did the March on Washington. But I remember clearly my father would ask my brother and me, well, what do you think about all this? You know, there was not one time when in the midst of those conversations, he said, that's wrong or that's right or anything. He just simply said, tell me about what you're thinking. Tell me about what's going on. I was blessed like no other. That usually happened on a Sunday dinner. We're on a Sunday dinner now. What are you talking over with God the Father? The Lord Jesus is the vine. You're the branches. God the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one that caused all this to come here. What are you talking to God about now? Are you trying to rationalize why, you know, he shouldn't love you all the way? Or are you finally getting to the place where you say, you know, for at least this moment, I realize he really does love me. Help me, Lord, not to fall back in the ways where I deny that love of him. Because when you deny the love that he really loves you perfectly, you're actually denying him. Because God is love. And he really does love you perfectly. The breakdown comes in that a lot of us can't hold on to that. And yet he calls us to abide, calls us to continue, calls us to stay, calls us to reside in that life. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.